السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وبعد. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His forgiveness, we ask Him for His mercy. We testify and we state with full firmness and conviction that none is worthy of worship but Allah, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His worshipping slave and final messenger. I continue to remind myself and you of taqwa Allah azza wa jal, which is an inner, private, inward sincerity that we have towards Allah, that is built upon our love of Him, our fear of Him, our hope in His mercy, and that which shows itself outwardly in the actions and in the character that we espouse and display to others. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to make our inner and our secret and private better than that which we seek to display and make public to others. Allahumma ameen. We have an ambitious night, inshaAllah. First, I would like to begin by thanking the brothers at Islamic Motivations, Jazakumullah Khair, for helping in organizing this wonderful event. As always, I wish to thank my brothers and sisters who come out, alhamdulillah, in large numbers to attend, to listen to the word of Allah, and to hear the sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses us in that regard. Allahumma ameen. There is no ideal family. It's a shock. I'm sorry. They should have said, there is no ideal family. It was a mistake. But we thought you wouldn't show up if we said that. It's the truth. And the Qur'an, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ضربنا للناس في هذا القرآن من كل مثل. We gave parable, illusion, similitude, imagery for humanity to look into this Qur'an and find something that will resonate with them on any scale and in any regard. And therefore, the families that we want to seem to make an ideal or a typical, back home in Canada and America, we call it, you know, the Aussie and Harriet family. The 1950s, there was a TV show. He was the perfect husband. She was the perfect homemaker. He would come home, dinner was on the table. Hi, honey, how are you? The kids were always dressed well. They brushed their teeth before you asked them. It was perfect. Perfect life. And that 1950s show, this ideal family was fraudulent. Because as we all know, families are not typical. And certainly, there is no mean ideal. So Allah shows us this in the Quran. He shows us examples of a husband and wife who work together for Allah by telling us, look at Ibrahim and Sarah, look at Ibrahim and Hajar. He shows us a good husband and an evil wife in the example of Lut and Nuh. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Allah gives an example to those who disbelieve. Look at the wives of the prophets of God, Nuh and Lut. A good man but a terrible woman. Allah gives the inverse, a great woman with an unbelieving, wretched, oppressive husband. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. Allah gives an example of piety in the wife of Pharaoh, that tyrant who lived, وعليكم السلام, who lived and ruled the earth with tyranny and oppression. Allah gives the example of a young son who listens to his father, who works with his father, in the example of Ismail, Ishaq, and Ibrahim. Allah gives the example of a wonderful family where the children hate one another to the point they conspire to murder, in the example of Yusuf and his brothers. Allah gives the example of two daughters who have no brothers and an elderly father that they look after, who they have to toil and look after the sheep, and finally they see the semblance of manhood in Musa, in what would be the future wife of Musa, as is in Surah Al-Qasas. Allah gives us the example of an adopted son, Musa with Fir'aun, of a son who is adopted and abused as an orphan in a home, in the example of Yusuf and his stepmother. Examples. Kulli mathal. Nothing that you can ever envision except that there is a similitude and a parable for it in the Quran. In particular for the things that relate to the family. But even greater is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now many people they ask, you know, your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhi afdalu as-salah wa atammu at-taslim, he was married to 9 women. Why? Well, he was an example. Us married brothers, we could tell you the Prophet was an example. MashaAllah. 9? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Whoa! Look at these married brothers smiling, big smiles, huh? That's tough, man. And not just any women. He married, look how Allah gives us an example in his life. He married a woman with children who was older than him by 15 years, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Khadija. He married a woman who was younger than him, Aisha radiallahu anha. He married a woman whose husband was killed. He married a woman from a different tribe. He married a woman who doesn't speak his language, Maria al-Qibtiyya, who came from Egypt. He married a Jewess, Safiya bint Huyay, who was from a different culture, who came to faith. Every example was found in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And therefore when we come to talk about the ideal family, we cannot say, oh yeah, husband and wife, mashallah, 2.5 children. Right? The statistics, right? Census. The ideal family, white picket fence. No. The ideal family for us is a family that turns to the Qur'an to find those parables. And that's my mission with you, inshallah, today for the next, you know, 20-30 minutes, inshallah. As you know, I try to be very precise with my time, and I don't want to be here longer than is necessary. But I wish, inshallah, to do the topic justice. Although I teach a course that relates to this that's extended over 2 days. I teach a course called the Muslim DNA, and the course is really a whole day just on the family. Just on husband and wife, sons and daughters, extended family, and so on. Look at this image that's behind me on the screen. This is your life. Or we hope it's our life. You are one closed circuit. Anta nafs, you're a soul, you're a self. You're an individual before you are a family. You are your own self, responsible for yourself before your wife, before your husband, before your children. And Allah warns you about your zawj. Allah says, inna min azwajikum. From your spouse, aduwan lakum, can be an enemy to you. Inna min awladikum, in another ayah, from your children, can be an avowed enemy to you. Fahdharuhum, be careful of them. Scary. Whoa. My husband, my wife, my children. Amwalikum, your wealth, yes. Be on guard by learning what is necessary, what their rights are. See, many people, they misunderstand that ayah. When you say, inna min azwajikum aduwan, they mean, they're going to hurt me. No. You're going to destroy yourself by hurting them. See, you're thinking of it wrong. You're thinking, oh my wife, she's going to hurt me. No, 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 ya akhi. Because you're not a good man, you're going to destroy yourself in the dunya, and most probably, if you're not careful, the akhirah. Adu. It's not adu that they're coming to harm you. It's adu that you're going to lose your akhirah because of your injustice and incompetence and being a good man that you were promised to be. Any of you guys know or hear of an Imam al-Dhahabi? Any of you hear this name? I'm sure you read it on Facebook. There's a guy, there's a quote, people will say, Al-Imam al-Dhahabi said, you've never seen a book for Imam al-Dhahabi. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi has a book called Sir A'lam al-Nubala. The biography of the noble ones. He begins chronicling the life of the luminaries, the mountains of Islamic faith. These great men, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Imams, all the biographies up to his time and in his life. And who does he write a biography of? He writes about himself. He includes himself in it. And he says, I know I am not a handsome man. That's a very strange way to talk about yourself. I know I'm not pretty. I'm not handsome to look at. ولكن, but even though I was not the most attractive or the wealthiest, فضلت بالعلم. I was elevated because of the knowledge I have of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger ﷺ. So I was the hottest bachelor in town. There was not a woman in my city who didn't want to marry me. MashaAllah. Imam al-Dhahabi. He was the prime bachelor. They would do a TV show about him back then. He was the guy. Alright. فَاخْتَرْتُ أَعْلَاهُمْ نَسَبًا. He says about himself, I chose the highest in lineage. وَأَغْنَاهُمْ مَالًا. And the wealthiest of their families. وَأَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. And the best in character. وَأَجْمَلَهُمْ. And the most beautiful of the women who was put to me. So one day he says, بعد أعوام. Many years we've been married. My wife said to me, he's writing this about himself, his own biography. What did his wife say? She says, أَنْتَ وَأَنَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. I know for certainly you and I are going to be definitely in Jannah. قَالَ كَيْفَ ذَلِكَ. How do you know? Who can say this? Only Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can say you're sure to go to Jannah. How could you say this? She said, no. How do you say this? She said, أَمَّا أَنْتَ فَقَدْ رُزِقْتَ بِي. You were blessed by Allah to be married to me. وَأَدَّيْتَ حَقِّي. But, here's the catch. But, you fulfilled the right that I have over you. Meaning, you took the most beautiful, the wealthiest, the richest, the best of people. And you treated me that way. You're a good man. You know, sisters, behind closed doors, you know about your husband what no one else knows. He can go to the masjid dressed like a Saudi. Right? He could have the iqal. He could be in the bish. He's looking shaykhy, mashaAllah. Shake and bake. He's got it all. MashaAllah. He's come up to the masjid. The brother's like, mashaAllah. He's smelling of oud and misk and... He's amazing. And then he gets home, and you know about him what they don't know. Allahu Akbar. You know about him, he snores through Fajr. He's a, snoring, not even yani, almost awake, snoring. You know what others don't know. So you look at him and you say, Allah, Allah. This is where I am. But she, who was the highest, the best, the wealthiest, the prettiest, she says, you fulfilled what I didn't think others could fulfill. أَدَّيْتَ حَقِّي فَلَكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Because of your treatment, your righteousness, that I know, that no one knows, you will deserve Jannah. So Imam al-Dhahabi says, سُرِرْتُ بِذَلِكَ. I was happy. Man, my wife's going to stand in front of Allah on the day of Jannah and say, Ya Allah, he deserves Jannah. فَقُلْتُ لَهَا وَمَاذَا بِكِ. If I'm going to Jannah, alhamdulillah, you proved my point. But what about yourself? Why do you think you deserve Jannah? She says, she smiled
and said, because I was patient in marrying you. Allahu Akbar. He wasn't the handsomest man. He wasn't the wealthiest man. He wasn't Prince Charming. He was al-Imam, al-Dhahabi, al-Mu'arrikh, the historian, the biographer, the Taqi, Shamsuddin. He was the son of our faith. This is what the scholars call him. Ideal family. That's an ideal family. You begin with yourself. What others don't know about you. What others shouldn't need to know about you. Between you and Allah, there is a taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Near the end of Surah Maryam. Those who believe. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Work righteousness. سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّا. The ever merciful, the Lord of mercy, the giver of mercy, Allah shall put love for them. Allah's love for them means the love of others for you. Beginning and including your wife and your husband and your children and your friends and your family. And we will talk about this shortly. After yourself, there is of course your family. Which begins not with your wife and not with your children, but with your mother. And after your mother, your father. And after your father, your spouse. And after your spouse, your children. We will talk about this inshaAllah. And then the concentric circle that is after is your community. What do you do for yourself? The nearest, ashira, the inner family, the sanctum. And those who are around you, who you live and work with. So we're going to talk about four things today inshaAllah. Some more than others due to the shortness of time. I want to talk about mothers and fathers. I want to talk about wife. You'll see it doesn't say husband. Because that's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet never said to the women, treat your men good. He only says to the men, treat your women good. Because who's the one who's at fault? Sorry brothers. We'll get there. Don't worry, I'll score another point inshallah on the way back. Alright? And children, and the extended family, right? Let's begin inshaAllah. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. This ayah, wallahi, if we were to speak about this ayah for days and weeks and months, it would not be enough. The beauty of the ayah, the symmetry of the ayah, the ada of the ayah, the balagha of the ayah, the word choice, where it's a past tense, where is a positive, where it's affirmative, where there's negation. You would sit here mesmerized by the beauty of the word of Allah. But I just want to highlight a few important points. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, qada. It's already been decided. Most ulama tell you, even before we were created, even before we were put on this earth, it was intended by Allah that we were always to honor our parents. It's not something that just came about. Even though Adam did not have a father and mother, if he did, of the first command that Allah would say after worship me was be good to who? Your parents. And therefore you will hear this often in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rabbuka, your Lord. Now look at that word, Rabbuk, it's personal. He's mine. He's my Allah. You have your Allah, he's my Allah. He's the same Allah, but he's mine. I seek him. He knows me. He sees me. He hears me. He's personal to me. He is with me. He is closer to me than my jugular, which is within me. With his knowledge and his power and his ability and his authority. أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. It's مفهوم بالمخالف. Don't worship anyone except him. Anyone with a name, anyone with a state, it doesn't matter who it is, it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And in the same breath, in the same reading of only worshipping Allah, you cannot worship other than Him, be giving of ihsan, which means perfection, to your parents. Ihsan. that your aim is not just to be a good son, but the best son. It's not just, I'm a good daughter, I haven't done anything to hurt them, I haven't disobeyed them. No, that's not the point. You have to perform ihsan. Do you want to know what ihsan is? The Prophet mentions an example of that ihsan in the hadith of the three men who were trapped in the rain. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. There were three men from the nation before us, Bani Israel, our cousins in faith, the Jews. And as they were traveling, three righteous men, normal guys, it began to rain. They sat in a cave, but a landslide covered it. There's no way they're going to dig out. They're stuck there forever, unless Allah saves them. So the three of them made an agreement that they would make a dua. Each of them would say the best thing they've ever done in their life. And say, oh Allah, for this one deed that I did with sincerity and love and conviction only for you, save me. So the first man stands up and he says, Allahumma Rabbi innaka ta'lam. Oh my Lord Allah, you know. أَنَّ لِي أَبَوَانَ, that I have two, my two parents, شَيْخَانِ كَبِيرَانَ, they're old in age, they are old, old in age, they've become شيوخ. And you know, Ya Allah, that I would not feed my children, or my wife, or myself before them. And you know, O Allah, that on one day I was prevented from coming home on time. And when I arrived late, they were already asleep. So instead of feeding my children who were crying at my feet, and my wife who was complaining in request, I stood at their door waiting for them to stir, to wake up a little, so that I would give them their food and milk before my children and wife and myself. Oh Allah, if I did this to serve you, allow us to exit. And the rocks moved. This hadith, whoa! This hadith is amazing. It teaches you that when you get married, your responsibility to your parents does not end. Doesn't end. It teaches you that if you bring your parents to your home, your wife is not their servant. You are their servant. He didn't say to his wife, feed them. He fed them. He never says to his wife, clean them. He cleans them. This is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when you hear the complaints, especially from certain cultural regions of the world, where a sister will say, I'm living with my in-laws and now their own daughter who used to serve them doesn't serve them. I serve her and them. This is not the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I stood waiting to feed them, give them food and milk. It teaches us that our children will not starve, and that not because you have something that your children need, that they should get it before others. How is my son, my little Umar, going to learn to honor his grandfather if he doesn't learn that yes, he can cry, he can be hungry, but his grandfather is first? How is he going to learn to teach his children that I am first? Yes. You'd say, oh, but the kids. You know, that's our mentality. The modern man thinks in that way. But the kid, what did the kids do wrong? Why should we keep them from eating? They're not going to die from one night. I'm not saying put them in drought, put them in a cage or a zoo or something. Restrict them for their own benefit, to teach them the honor of your elder. And therefore the Prophet ﷺ says, لَيْسَ مِنَّا, you cannot be from our ummah, مَنْ لَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَهُ, the one who doesn't honor and know the place of the elder, وَيَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَهُ, and then you will learn to show mercy to those who are younger. This is ihsan to your parents, that you put them before yourself, before your own children, before your own spouse, بِالْحَقِّ, in that which is right. There was one brother, He was telling me his mother insisted to come on his honeymoon. Now that's too far. I'm telling you, Akhi, you gotta draw a line somewhere. If there's a honeymoon event, you gotta send that sister, "Mom, I love you, but you're going home." There's gotta be some lines, boundaries. "No, no, no, my son, I'll be in another room. I want you in a different country." Sorry, brother. Right? There's lines. Because some parents are pushy. Right? Don't take the hadith and run with it. Don't go too far. Now, prayer time. MashaAllah. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Don't say to your parents, it's not even a word. Don't say oof. Don't utter a sound of displeasure. Don't let anything audible swallow it in. Swallow your pride. Swallow your anger. Keep it inside with your parents. Not even oof, not even a utterance of a movement of air will come out of you to displease the one who created you and made them in charge of you. You're going to say, "Brother Yahya, my parents didn't treat me well. They never taught me Islam. My parents hate Islam. My parents are committing jihad against Islam. They're struggling in all their means to bring me away from Islam." Allah tells you what to do. In Surah Luqman, وَوَصَّيْنَا, we gave as a command to mankind, بِوَالِدَيْ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ, to be good to both of his parents. But who does he prefer? حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. His mother is always first. Because his mother carried him وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنًا, in cycle of pain and weakness and difficulty after another. وَفَصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنُشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ. If they strive to make you associate with me anything about which you have no knowledge, if they ask you to commit shirk, to worship other than Allah, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, don't obey them. But وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, don't obey them in shirk, don't worship something false, but be their sahabi in the dunya. Be to them a companion, a keeper, a guardian in this life. Even the one who's making jihad to bring me away from you, Ya Allah, yes. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ, the only ones you follow are those who return to me in humility and in love. The Prophet ﷺ, as is narrated in Bukhari, he says, when I stand for prayer and I hear a child cry, this is Muhammad ﷺ, in the blessed masjid of the Prophet, leading the best of men of his time. He's standing there in prayer, he's reciting the Qur'an that you and I would say, "Ya Rasulullah, don't ever stop." He's standing there in prayer, he hears a baby cry. What does he do? He stops. Allahu Akbar, and bows. Why? He tells you why. As I dislike to trouble the child's mother. That just that little cry of her son, that it's not because he disturbed my prayer. The crying is disturbing the jama'ah. No, you misunderstand. Because the Prophet doesn't want that mother to be anxious in her salah. What happened to my baby? Why is my child crying? Because Allah favors the heart of the mother. So does Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah returns Musa to his mother so that she can feed him. وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِعِ All of those who used to give breast milk, he could never drink from them, Musa alayhi salam. Until they brought this woman, they didn't know it's his mother. And then Allah returned him to her. لِكَيْ لَا تَحْزَنُ Allah does that, why? So that she is not sad. That's the only reason. Allah could have made Musa protected under Fir'aun with anyone. But he wants that love of the mother, that her son be a part of her life. This is the tradition that we have as Muslims. And therefore when the Prophet ﷺ says to that man, Ummuk, 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 your mother, your mother, your mother, you are not confused. You know who he means, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man committed murder. And after committing murder in a distant land, he had repented to Allah, and years had gone by. And he arrived in Al-Madinah and he spoke to Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said to him, I have committed this atrocity in my life and Allah has hidden it. I escaped. There's no death penalty on me, but I know what I have done. Is there any way that I can make it up to Allah? Is there anything that I can do to make amends? Abdullah ibn Abbas asked him one question. He says, is your mother alive? He said, no. He said, then I have nothing to tell you except do good deeds. Because if your mother was alive, I would tell you, go sit near her and serve her. That's the only way you can make up the disasters of your life. Ummuk, thumma ummuk, thumma ummuk. I'm a father though. Shireen, sometimes she tells me, Baba, you're second. I tell her, why do you say that? She said, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mom is first. I said, yes, but I'm Baba Shireen. Right? Ummuk, you can't argue. That's how it is. Your mother. I'm a father. Alhamdulillah. The rights of our parents are essential. And they are second only to our worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there will come a day where we leave the nest and now we're going to build our own family. We're going to talk about our wife, our spouse, our husband. Becoming one. When we get married as Muslims, this is how we think. We become one part. Because we are nafs wahida. We've come to become one unit. In the hadith narrated by Imam al-Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ says, Al-arwahu jundu mujannada. The souls are like regiments and platoons. They were put in quarters where they recognized and knew one another. Wal-arwahu tata'alaf. And some souls knew others. You know, this concept of soulmates is a part of our faith. That there will be people you've never met in your life and you meet them and your heart hates them. You're like, I hate that guy. You don't say it, but you just, who is it? I don't want nothing to do with him. Your soul did not connect with him in the Akhirah, before time. In the Barzakh, before our arrival, there was no ta'aluf, there was no mahabba. And there are others who you meet for a minute, it's like you've known them their whole life. Because your soul recognizes them, has affinity and familiarity with them. In English, when we talk about husband and wife, you know what the word husband comes from, right? It's kind of vulgar, I apologize. But the word husband comes from husbandry, which is a farming practice. And it's basically how to train a bull. I won't complete it. Right? That's what a husband was. He was the guy, come here bull, over there. Do your thing, right? So they said, oh well, we're going to get married. Oh, he's like my husband. That's the thought. There isn't that elegance of Islam. What do we say as Muslims when, you know, when we talk about a husband, a wife? You know, we say zawj. Zawj means two distinct parts is zawj. They come together that they become one. Where you don't know the beginning from the end. Two, that become one where you no longer can tell where one starts from where one ends. Hisn and Muhsanat. My wife, she's my fortress. You know, you have that book, Hisn al-Muslim? The fortress of the believer, right? That's your wife. That's your husband. Hisn, they're your guardian. They're the, you know, they're the moat and the castle. That's why you're king of the castle. She's the castle. Right? Harami, haram al-Sheikh Yahya. This is the one who everyone else is haram except her. She's prohibited upon everyone. He's prohibited for everyone except for her. These are the words. She's only mine. I'm only for her. Baal. Baal means the one who extends good that you receive. And she, you know, in Surah Hud, وَهَذَا بَعْلِي شَيْخًا. This man that I live with, Ibrahim, he's an old man. He's always been good to me. But there's nothing that's going to come from him, she thought. شق. النساء شقائق الرجال. Your wife is شق. Your better half. She is your half. A شق is the exact half of a whole. That you come together to become whole. So there's that elegance. What does the Prophet ﷺ say? MashaAllah. Everyone is ready for al-Isha. The Prophet ﷺ says, خَيْرُكُمْ. And this خَيْرِيَّة is between us and Allah. خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِ. Is the best in terms of his treatment to their wives. I'm going to give you a few statements from the Sunnah. And I'm going to show you how they've been misrepresented in our modern discourse. One hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says, this is a guide to having a great relationship as a husband and wife. Alright? Number one, the Prophet ﷺ says, إِذَا طَعِمْتْ فَأَطْعِمْهَا. It's usually translated, when you eat, feed her. It's like you put some hay in the corner and you say, honey, go feed. Feed. Go. This is how it's translated, feed her. Like you just put a troll, okay, feed now. What it means is, when you eat, eat with her. And therefore you find the whole seerah and life of the Prophet ﷺ, that every time you hear of the Prophet having a meal, one of his spouses was there. He was always sharing the meat with Aisha or Umm Salama. There was always someone there from his house, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You not ever once, not even once in his seerah, hear the Prophet ﷺ having a plate to himself. Aisha, she describes, Anas described, that the Prophet used to love pumpkin. And Aisha says, the hadith is Bukhari, she says, I know that the Prophet used to love pumpkin, so when we were eating, and the plate had pumpkin, I'd kind of push the pumpkin towards his side, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas would do the same. He said the Prophet liked pumpkin soup and the chunks in it. So when I would see his eyes looking for the chunks, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Al-Qura, he loved it. That was his. And he said, pumpkin puts barakah in your food, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith is with Abu Dawood. But it shows you the habit that they would eat together. The second section of that hadith, when you get yourself kiswa, you've gotten yourself something to wear, faksuha, get her something. Now I know some of the brothers, they got this big grin, brother Yahya, come on man. My wife shops 50 times to every one of my times. You're telling me now I gotta shop when I shop? That one measly time, then a miskeen. One time I go shopping, I gotta get her something? Yes, why? Why? Why do you gotta get her something? Because أَبْرَكُ الصَّدَقَةِ. The charity that has the greatest barakah. إِنْفَاقُ الرَّجُلِ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. Is that a man buys his wife something. See, the sisters are quiet, brothers. They're taking notes. They're like, give me my phone, I want to record this. Brother, are you recording? Make sure you give me a copy. Email that quick. Right? It's true. That sadaqah, there's nothing greater that will put love in the heart. This is the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You buy yourself something, don't be that guy who comes home, you got yourself, I know you got yourself two shirts and a pants, and you walk in, oh, what did you get? She's not asking, what did you get yourself? That's not the question, right? There's more to it than that. What did you get? Including me, right? The kiswa. Ajlisha fi majlisik. Have your wife sit where you sit. Sometimes, you know when you're invited to some brother's house, and they go a little bit too far, trying to be more conservative than the Prophet ﷺ, like too conservative, where all of a sudden, you know, the brother meets you, Assalamu alaikum, come on through the front door, mashallah. Sister, go around the back. Be careful of the red backs, be careful. Yes. Duck, you gotta duck, sister, you gotta duck. Right? All of a sudden, sister, just come around the back. Don't worry, when you go out, you come up, you'll find the kitchen. You'll be in the kitchen. Don't worry. So you ask this polite question. He says, Assalamu alaikum, akhi. Where are the sisters going to sit? Oh brother, they'll be comfortable. I put the garden chairs in the kitchen. You're sitting on this lounge, mashallah. You're on the couch, you're comfortable. That's not the way of the Prophet ﷺ. Even in his final death, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the last moments of his life, when Fatima came in, his daughter, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got up and let her sit where he was sitting, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is our way. The wisada, the cushion he was sitting on, he put it for his daughter. He puts it for his wife. He puts it for his companions. And that's why when you hear that Abu Sufyan came to the house of the Prophet, his daughter, and he's about to sit on a cushion, she took it away because he wasn't a Muslim yet. She said, I will never let you sit on the cushion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's an honored place. So you tell her, okay, go around. She's in the kitchen. All of a sudden, one of the children comes in the room. The brother gets a bit upset, right? Sisters, he calls his wife. You have to keep the children away. This is a we're solving the Palestinian problem in here. Don't you see? This is important discussions. We have an agenda to meet. You can't have little kids walking into this room. No, you keep them on your side. This is not the sunnah of Muhammad ﷺ. This is not what you see in his life. Speak words of love to your wife. Now, brothers are getting frozen stares coming at me. Brother Yahya, take it easy. Speak loving, tender words to your spouse. Now that's the way of Rasulullah ﷺ. When he would, Amr ibn al-As, he was a new Muslim. Now Amr, he was the one who went to Ethiopia. He tried to bring them back, the Sahaba, Ja'far and the Sahaba who had made Hijrah in subjugation. But Allah gave them victory over him. He was an enemy of Islam. But when he came to Islam, the Prophet took his leadership skills to good use. Moments after his Islam, just a few days and weeks, the Prophet sent him as an ambassador to a region, to be the representative of Rasulullah. Amr thought to himself, it must mean that he loves me. Why else would he choose me and not Umar and not Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum ajma'in? Why else? So he comes into the masjid and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man tuhib? Who do you love? Come on, it's got to be me, right? You chose me, all these other guys, you chose me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet looks at him and says, my wife Aisha, what's wrong with you? What kind of question is that? Aisha sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Amr, he goes, no, of course, laysa kadhalika ya Rasul. I know, of course, it's Aisha. Everyone knows. There's no shyness of the Prophet saying, I love my wife, Aisha. You know, some of the brothers ask him, who do you love? Well, my mother. He's shy to say, you know, his wife, right? Well, I love my kids, brother. My wife, Aisha. So he says, no, from the men, ya Rasul. He says, Abuha. Her father, she's still on his mind. He doesn't say Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He says Abuha, Who's there? Aisha still there. The Prophet would sit in his house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith is with Abu Dawood. And he would sow. See, when we talk about some of these things, I want you to understand that if you were to witness the Sahaba and the way they conducted, you would think that they were mad. You would be surprised at how they dealt with things. You wouldn't be able to understand them, because the way they viewed the world was metaphysical. They understood that how they lived impacts the natural life. If I pray to Allah, it rains. If I don't, Allah will stop it. If I pray to Allah, illness is prevented. Barakah is kept. If I don't, it's lifted. They understood this. So the Prophet was a handyman in his home. كان في مهنة أهلي. He was fixing things around the house. One day he saw a rip in his sandal, so he is stitching it. But because he's not good at it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was an excessively hot day, he's sitting in his room with Aisha, and he's concentrating, and because of concentrating and the heat, he is sweating profusely, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha sitting across the room with a big grin. She's smiling at him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet looks up and he sees her laughing, like smiling. He says, Mimma tadhakin, you laughing at me? What are you laughing at? And she says, Ya Rasulullah, when I saw this moment of you and these beads of sweat, تَذَكَّرْتَ أَبْيَاتَ أَبَا هُذَيْن. I remembered the poetry of Abu Hudayl, who was a poet, where he said that the sweat of the one you love is more precious than pearls, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet got up, left what he was doing, went over and kissed her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَالَ لَهَا يَا عَائِشَ أَنْتِ أَكْثَرُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. You to me are more than those words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's love, man. The Sahaba, they would see this. Ali, who's married to the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, don't think this is just Rasulullah. Ali, he's married to the Prophet ﷺ's daughter. He comes home one day, and his wife, Fatima radiallahu anha wa ardaha, tastak. She's using siwak. She's brushing her teeth. It's not the most romantic kind of thing. You know, he's brushing her teeth. He comes in unannounced, earlier than usual. She doesn't know he's there. And as soon as he sees her, he is inflamed with passion that poetry emerges. He's poetic. And all of a sudden he says, Ya ud al-araka kayfa araka. O twig of the arak tree, how can I see you doing this? Embracing my wife so intimately. Like he's jealous of a stick. لو كنت رجلا لقتلتك. If you were a man, I would have killed you. Now there's no woman who will hear her husband talk about her toothbrush like that, except she's going to love him. That's romance 101. That's like romance beyond romance. Don't tell me Shakespeare. Romeo and Juliet could die and come back and die and come back, and they got nothing. This is Ali and Fatima radiallahu anha. This is the Sahaba. So when we talk about the Sunnah, it's not attire, it's demeanor. It's not words, it's actions, it's statements of love and eloquence. This is the house of the Prophet ﷺ. Finally, because there's so much that we can say, maybe inshallah one time you can take a course with me on that. Finally, in building that happy union, it is to recognize that it is divinely sent. The moment you displease Allah, Allah removes that rahmah and mawadda from your home. Allah takes away the essentials of compassion you have with one another and the love you have. It's gone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rum, أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. He created for you a spouse from your own self, so that you will find repose, you will find tranquility, sanctity, spiritual completeness with one another. And therefore when I say I'm going home, أَنَا رَجَعْ سَكَنِي, I'm going to my maskan, to my place of tranquility. The world is a jungle, but my home is tranquil. When I come home, I'm home. I'm in my place. In my place of rahmah, in my place of compassion. And therefore when you come home and you don't find that, it is worse than everything you experience out in the day. Some brothers, you know, they're driving taxis. Others are delivering things. Others are teachers. Say nothing. Right? Teachers. You come home. The moment you walk through that door, what do you want to feel? You want to feel love. You want to feel comfort. You want to feel peace. Second, my abode of mercy. That's how we define our house. An abode of tranquility, of serenity. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ. Who is the one اللي جعل? Who is the one who puts? It is Allah. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّ وَرَحْمَةً. It is Allah who puts between you love and compassion. That is a sign of Allah being Allah. It is from the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore the imams, they tell us that whenever you find within your home tension, difficulty, adversity, harshness, lack of compassion, lack of love, you look into your life, she must look into her life, and recognize between each other that someone is disobeying Allah. We believe in the metaphysical. We believe it's not just natural, you know, if I feel it and touch it. No, how you behave with Allah matters in what is around you. My Shaykh is Shaykh Muhammad Safwat Nuruddin. Allah have mercy on him. I was translating with him in New York. And we were late for a lecture and they had this car that was waiting for us, the driver. And he came down, we came down from the room. And if you've ever been to New York, you know that the traffic lights, they all go green and then they all go red. And if you get into the pattern where it's red, you're going to be red, red, red. Now I know this because I go to New York often. I know this. The Sheikh, we're late. He looks at his watch. He says, we're late. I said, inshallah, we'll be there. They can't begin without us, Ya Sheikh. Red. Red. He looks at me. Ken Mu'addab, Allah yirhamu. He says, one of us committed a sin. He didn't say, what did you do? Until Ya Sheikh. يعني الحمد لله. He goes, مش انت يمكن السواء. Maybe it's not you, it's the driver. Like throw it on someone else, right? So he said, فلنستغفر الله. Tell the driver to ask Allah for forgiveness. And you ask Allah for forgiveness. And the Shaykh, but you see, the Shaykh was abid. I flew with the Shaykh from Toronto to Houston, about 4 hours. That whole flight, he never stopped salah in his chair. Began, Allahu Akbar. He would read the Quran. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. The whole salah, the whole flight. No food, no drink. This, he was abid. He said, ask Allah for forgiveness. All of a sudden, it's green, 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 green. And I'm saying, and I look at the Shaykh and I say, it was him, Ya Shaykh. Right? We believe, wallahi, we believe in the metaphysical, right? We believe in that there is more to life than what is seen. And Allah puts love in our homes, love and contentment with our families, based on our relationships with Him.